On this feast of divine mercy, we come into your presence, Lord, and we ask you to manifest your mercy to us. The age of mercy is an age that this world is in ardent need of. And we've seen in more recent times your missionaries of mercy. Within a few hours, all eyes were turned to Rome. And there in the Vatican, Pope Francis with, please God, Pope Emeritus Benedict, two popes, will proclaim, will canonise two popes in heaven. The body of Christ. We witness to those who are saints and the saints bless us from heaven. And one blessing that's come down to us is the blessing of the life of Pope John Paul, who truly will be known as John Paul the Great, a Pope of Mercy. The message of Saint Faustina, the message of divine mercy, would not have happened without him. Just as she, Saint Faustina Kowalska, became God's missionary of mercy in the world, John Paul II was the Church's Pope of Missionary Mercy to all continents of the world. We recall that Saint Faustina died in 1938. And with her death came a period of difficulty for the message of mercy. Her life had been one hidden. Although spiritually revealed to her confessor, now Blessed Michael Sopotchko, she didn't receive acknowledgement nor accreditation for much of what she did. It remained sealed. It remained hidden. Only to be revealed in time through her diary. She was instructed by her confessor, Father Michael, to write down all that God had told her. That work accumulated 600 pages in the Diary of Divine Mercy, entrusted to him. And when she died in 1938, the message, the mission, could have stopped. But the icon had been painted, the icon that we can see before us, an icon of forgiveness, an icon of healing. God would not let that cease. Through the Congregation of Marian Fathers, the Mercy Mission travelled from Poland to Russia, Siberia, Japan, and from Japan to America. Eventually that diary would be translated into various languages. But alas, Satan never sleeps. Is the work of deceit a work so cunning and prideful? He tried to suppress the diary and the merciful mission of Saint Faustina. And yet she predicted this would come about as Saint Louis-Marie Grignion, the great Montfort father, predicted that his work of true devotion would lay dormant, hidden for some time. So too her diary and her work was suppressed by the Church in 1958. The Holy See sought to suspend any work in this endeavour because of the translation they had received was faulty, and therefore the message was unclear. The translation from the Polish into Italian and the English wasn't what was desired. New translations would have to be prescribed, and that took time. Meanwhile, for 20 years, from 1958 to 1978, the ban was on. This private revelation from this nun in Poland was not to be promoted. It had dubious content. People were sceptical what could come from it. But God now would enter the scene through Pope John Paul. Even then, in 1978, as the Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow, he sought through the Holy Office in Rome, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, to have the work revisited and try to lift the ban. Progress was being made, and of course, as you recall, he was elected Pope in that same year. The movement would now begin again. And from 1979, that great diary received accreditation and approval from the Holy See, and the devotion began to become popular. Popular in the sense that people far and wide were hearing now, for the first time, the merciful mission of Saint Faustina. Her diary now, having been properly translated, was available, and people were reading this vast tome, explaining how God had revealed so much to this simple nun in Poland, who only lived for 33 years, but lived a life of a mystic, having also received the invisible stigmata in her body in imitation of Christ. At a pontifical level, John Paul would not only assist in the spreading of this devotion, but formally promote it. As we recall, he wrote three encyclicals on the three persons of the Trinity. The encyclical on God the Father in 1981 was entitled Rich in Mercy, Dives in Misericordia, where he talks about the incarnation of mercy, the mission of mercy, and the inexhaustible source of mercy in the heart of God. He would not cease to promote mercy throughout his life. Then eventually, Saint Faustina was recognized as a holy nun, and with a miracle accredited to her intercession, she became blessed in 1993. Time would pass, and in the year 2000, she was canonized, and in that same year, this feast of divine mercy received liturgical approbation. In other words, it became a formal feast within the church. And I believe one day it will become even a stronger feast than it is today. The date chosen for the Feast of Divine Mercy was inspired by God himself. Through Saint Faustina, from the various early times, God willed that this Sunday, Low Sunday, as it's called, or the first Sunday after Easter, would be the Feast of Divine Mercy. And therefore, unlike other feast days that would float every year, as Easter floats according to the lunar cycles, so too, this feast will always be that Sunday after Easter, which traditionally was the Sunday when we contemplated the great gift of grace that God gives us through baptism, how merciful the Lord is to us all. At this feast, this day, today, that God has willed that Pope John Paul and John the 23rd be canonized in Rome. The word canon is from the Greek word listing. In other words, they're going to be formally enlisted among the saints in heaven. The citizens of heaven are claiming them as their own. And we acknowledge that fact here on earth. When the Holy Father, in a few hours' time, will proclaim them to be saints in heaven, that act, that pontifical act of Pope Francis, is infallible. It can't be reversed. There's no doubt about it. We believe, as Catholics, as we have always believed, that the infallible act of canonizing a person on earth as a saint in heaven is a moment of glory for all of the Church here below. Because ultimately, the purpose of baptism is to make us a saint in heaven, a prince or princess of the royal family. And today, we can rejoice that John Paul, who wasn't so long ago walking on this land, visiting us in Sydney, Melbourne, in the outback, is now a prince in the heavenly court. Not just a prince, but a pope who's become a prince. Not every pope is guaranteed holiness, although we call them holy. that in recent times we've been blessed with extraordinary popes whose holiness is outstanding, remarkable, and suitable to our modern era. So be proud to be Catholic. Be proud to be members of God's royal family as we salute in heaven with the sign of the cross and the invocation of their names, these great people who have gone before us. Saint John Paul, pray for us. Saint John the 23rd, pray for us. Be with us, guide us, assist us, and help us. As they manifested mercy in the world in which they lived, may we now receive their blessing from heaven to earth, so that we too might be missionaries of mercy in our world. By A, B and C, asking for his mercy, as you have done by coming here today, making this hour of mercy. Two, by being merciful to others, not just reserving that mercy within our hearts, but manifesting it to others to take away their own misery. And C, complete trust. We trust in God alone. In God alone can we rely. Everyone and anyone can fail us, but God will not. So we trust in him that he might always be merciful to us. And in being merciful to us, this feast not just has meaning, but will take on an effect in the world. As John Paul II had such an impact in our modern times, please God, through today's feast day, we too might carry on that legacy and be merciful to all that we meet, so that they too may never doubt that they ought to, like ourselves, trust in God. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.